Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to say this tonight. Don't you listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Don't, now I'm not going to preach on that. I just want you to see that. But I want to say this tonight. Don't miss service tomorrow night. Don't miss Friday night. Going to rain out the ball game, praise God, Friday night. Amen, Brother Stan. So don't miss service tomorrow night, Friday night, Sunday or Sunday night. And I was pleasantly surprised when I went back and looked at the mission messages I preached in this church. I've got a lot of illustrations I've never done here. And I didn't realize that until I got to looking. So I'm going to do some visible illustrations this week, either now Sunday 1 or tomorrow night or Friday night. So it won't do you any good to get CD. You're going to need to be here every service. Can I get a witness? How about the rest of you? Are you listening? Don't miss tomorrow night. Don't miss Friday night. And hey, listen, you know what happened this afternoon at 7 o'clock? The Holy Ghost seated this church in a business meeting between now and next Sunday night. And by you being here and by your responding, it's going to determine whether some people die and go to hell or go to heaven. I'm preaching good. Are you listening? So don't miss a service. We're going to have a good time, and you don't want to miss out on a thing. Now, mission revival, mission conference, mission revival is different than revival meeting. It's different than camp meeting. And so we're going to learn some things, and I pray God will help us during this time. Now, most of you are in this room tonight probably. I don't know. Probably half of you don't know what faith promise is. You've heard it because you've heard it from the pastor, but we're going to find out what it is. But we're also going to find out why we do that. And I'll just say this before I preach tonight. When you talk about faith promise tonight, in the New Testament, and I'll say this more than one time, there are at least five ways to give in the New Testament. And if you'll study, you'll find there's at least five different ways to give. First of all, there's spiritual giving. And when it talks about spiritual giving, those Macedonians in chapter number 8, there in verse number 5, 2 Corinthians, they gave themselves. Can I shock y'all tonight? God's not looking for this. Y'all get what he just said? Oh, I know what he's going to do. He's going to preach on money. Listen, if that's your mentality about missions, you're 100% wrong. It's not, and God's not looking for this. God's looking for you. And when I talk about spiritual giving, that's giving yourself. Paul said they first of all gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us. First of all, that's what's called spiritual giving. The second way of giving the New Testament is what we call systematically giving. That's 10%, that's called tithing. And the tithe is not mine, and the tithe is not yours, but the tithe is the Lord's. And it's given through the local church on the Lord's day. You don't send the tithe to Benny Hinn. You don't send the tithe to Charles Stanley. You don't send the tithe to some TV preacher. You bring it to the local church. Is everybody listening to me? And by the way, listen to me, the tithe is not yours. And you don't do God a favor when you tithe. You say, what do you mean I don't do God a favor? That's already his. Don't make payments with somebody else's money. So number two, the second way of giving is tithing. That's the elementary level. I don't think anybody here has a problem with that. And but anyhow, systematically, that's giving 10% every week. Then the third way of giving the New Testament tonight is what we call surplus giving. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. That's Luke 6:38. And so anyhow, that's surplus giving. That's giving out of your surplus. And Brother Robert Potts has a lot of surplus. And so anyhow, it's giving out of your surplus. The fourth way of giving the New Testament is what we call sacrificial giving. And that's that little widow there in the book of Luke chapter number 21. She gave her two mites. You know what she done? She gave more than anybody. That's sacrificial giving. And then what I want to talk to you tonight and this week some about is what we call, and I love it tonight, scriptural giving. And that's giving by faith. It's trusting God by faith. Faith promise tonight is above your tithe. It's above the building fund. It's above every other way of giving. It's giving by faith. And I want to say this tonight. Some of you are already saying this before I read. Some of you already got this in your mind. I cannot afford to do no more. Read my lips. That's wonderful. Because faith promise is not about what you can do. Faith promise is about what God will do through you. And we're going to learn that this week, but we're going to learn also this week why we give the faith promise. And I'm going to say a little bit about that tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's stand together, please. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come home and preach in my home church. It's good to preach to people that smile at you. And I love it. I mean it. I really do. You'd be surprised what goes on across this country in churches. Can I tell y'all one good thing happened to me last Sunday? Is it last Sunday? No, it's Sunday before last. I was in Cambridge, Virginia, up towards Richmond. And I'd already, at evening service, I'd already got into introduction my message. This man comes walking down the aisle, bringing a little boy, I guess about this tall, 6-7 years old. I mean, just comes walking down the aisle. And you know where that's at, don't you? It's not far from where y'all come from. But anyhow, I'm walking down the aisle. Now, I'm already getting with it pretty good in my message. And he comes right here and stops and looks up at me and says, he wants to say something to you. I said, okay. He stepped up on the platform. I said, son, how can I help you? He said, with tears in his eyes, he said, I want to get saved. I said, I think we can take care of that right now. And I said, y'all be seated, y'all be still, y'all be quiet, I'll be back in a minute. I just bowed down behind the pulpit and laid him to Christ. Amen. That's one good thing that happened. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they're in an argument right here about who they're with. One says, I'm a Paul. One says, I'm Apollos. One says, I'm a Cephas. And they're arguing about that. But notice what Paul says to them here. We're laborers together. We're not all one another. We're laborers together. Look at verse 9. For we're laborers together with God. You're God's husband. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build their own. But let every man take heed how he build their own. Other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you for standing. You'd be seated. I want to talk to you tonight, and I'm going to watch the clock. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Look at verse 9. For we're laborers together with God. We are laborers together. Our church has just voted to take on another missionary. And we're laborers together with the Allen family in Brazil. And we're laborers together one with another, but we're also laborers with God tonight. And I'll ask you the question tonight. Why do we do what we do? How many to watch Andy Griffith raise your hand? I said, how many to watch Andy Griffith raise your hand? And I have to tell people I'm from Mount Airy, North Carolina, because they have no idea what Boonville is, but they sure do know where Mount Airy is at, and you know what the next thing comes up when I say that. How many remember the episode on Andy Griffith where the Whitfields and the Carter was feuding? Anybody remember that? And they do this step off, and they're getting ready to shoot one another. Y'all remember that? And Andy asks them, why are you doing that? Why? What are you feuding about? He said, he's a Carter. And then he said to Mr. Whitfield, what are you feuding about? He said, because he's a Whitfield. And that just goes on and on. They didn't know why they was doing it. Ask your question tonight, why do we do what we do tonight? Why does Amazing Grace tonight, God through this church send over $100,000 a year out to a mission field? Why do they do that tonight? You know, the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always give a reason of the hope that's in you. Why do we do what we do this evening? Why would a church do that tonight? Why would this man of God, our pastor tonight, lead our church to do that? You're looking at almost $1 million building program right now. And things keep going the way they're going. It'll probably be 9 million before we get done. But here's what, boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? But here's what I started to say to you tonight. Why would he do that? And why would he call a meeting like this meeting this week? And to put emphasis on missions tonight and taking on missionaries and reaching the world with the gospel tonight. Here's what I want to do for a few minutes tonight. How many remember Warren Wiersbe? You preachers do. Warren Wiersbe is one of the greatest writers I've ever read after. I don't preach anything till I read Warren Wiersbe's book. I like his stuff. I really do. By the way, he passed away not long ago. But Warren Wiersbe tonight has what's called a B series. And a B series tonight. And when you study his B series, it's got to be joyful. I think that's probably Philippians. Be courageous. be determined, and a B series. So what I want to do a few minutes tonight, I want to do a B series with you tonight. And I want you to write down about four or five B's that I'm getting ready to make mention tonight. First of all tonight, why do we do what we do tonight? I'll say first of all tonight, number one, the first B I want to deal with tonight, how we do what we do because it's biblical. It's biblical tonight. Number one, it's biblical. We do what we do tonight because it's Bible or it's biblical this evening. Missions tonight is not some idea that I come up with. Missions tonight is not some idea your pastor come up with. Missions tonight is not some idea that some man come up with or some mission board come up with. But I'll say this tonight, it's biblical this evening. And giving by faith, trusting God by faith, that's biblical tonight. And I want to say this again tonight. It's not some faith promise tonight. It's not some man-made ideal. And I was given a faith promise before I realized I was given a faith promise. My dad gave the faith promise before we knew what the word faith promise even meant. It's given by faith. And I want to say this to you now. We do what we do because it's biblical. You fill out your faith promise card, and you trust God for that faith promise offering. And it's by faith tonight. I'll say this tonight, but I'll say it nine times preaching this week. God does what he does because somebody trusts him by faith. You start in the book of Genesis tonight and come down through your Bible this evening, you'll find that God is a God that operates by faith. God's looking for somebody to put faith in him and trust him this afternoon. I don't have time to deal with this tonight, but if you study the 14 epistles of Paul, you'll find the Apostle Paul conducted faith promise conferences, meetings, and several different areas in Asia and Galatia and Macedonia and in many other places tonight. And they would promise that faith promise offering. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I know I've been there about nine times in this church there, so I won't go there this week much. But they promise an offering. And it goes from year to year to year to year. And it's trusting God by faith this evening. I want to say this now. It's biblical this evening. And by the way, nothing has changed. Did you hear what I said? Nothing has changed. Did you know tonight man's need is not unchanging? He's still going to hell. He's still lost without Christ. He still needs the Lord. And by the way, there's more people lost now than there was last year. And I'll say this to you now. Men's need is not changing. Our command is not changing. The commission is not changed. I want to say God's power is not changed. And we do what we do tonight because it's biblical. Five times in the New Testament, we have the Great Commission. You find it in the four Gospels. You also find it in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And five times we have the Great Commission. And he's already said it, but I'll say this. His last command ought to be our first concern. His last command, are you listening to me? Right before he went back to heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And whether it's a creature, they ought to be a preacher. Amen. And I want to say this to you tonight. His last command ought to be our first concern. 42 times in the New Testament, somehow or another it deals with the fact how we ought to go, how we ought to give. And I realize this tonight, not everybody can go. Not everybody can go to the mission field. How about it's biblical to support missionaries tonight? It's Bible, it's biblical how to give by faith tonight. You trust him by faith. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what that consists of? That consists of evangelism. Yeah. Stabilizing and baptizing. Y'all get that? That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's to evangelize and then teach them, stabilize, and then baptize. Amen. And I want to say this to you now. The church in the New Testament, the church of Antioch. Boy, I got to tell you, God bless that church. They weren't like the church of Jerusalem. God had to allow persecution to come on them and set persecution on the church of Jerusalem before they'd ever do anything. But the church of Antioch, and that's who I want to be identified with, they sent out missionaries. And the missionaries come back, Acts 13, Acts 14. And I'll say this tonight. We do what we do tonight because it's biblical this evening. It's not some man-made idea. It's not some idea the pastor come up with. But it's biblical tonight. We're co-laborers together, sending missionaries out together, co-laborers together with God tonight. It's biblical this evening. And it's already been said, but I'll say it again. You take missions out of the Bible, all you got's cover. Are y'all with me tonight? I said you take missions out of the Bible, all you got's a cover. I promise you, if you study missions tonight, missions actually started before Genesis 1:1. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, have you read Acts, or have you read 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 20? How that it was preordained that Jesus Christ, for the foundation of the world, was ever laid, how that Jesus would come and go to the cross of Calvary, how he suffered before the foundation of the world. That's not Calvinism, that's Bible preaching. Are you listening to me? How it was already preordained that he would come, go to the cross, die for the sins of the world, that the world could be saved, thank God. Are you listening to me? It's even in the beginning. And by the way, we see the very first picture of missions in the book of Genesis tonight. You say, well, who's the first missionary? God. Yeah. You know why I say that? I say that because when Adam and Eve sinned, guess what happened? Guess who come on the scene? Guess who come to him? And by the way, Adam and Eve is the first missionary converts. And God come to him. God come a looking. He saw what they done. He knew what they done. And so guess what happened? Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. As an animal slain. There's bloodshed. There's coats of skin. God is the first missionary. And I want to say this to you tonight. He makes the first move. So I'll say, first of all tonight, missions tonight is biblical. It's not some crazy idea somebody come up with. It's biblical tonight. We do that because it's Bible tonight. Jesus Christ died for the world, not just Surrey County, not just a few on this side of the creek, but thank God for the world tonight. Are you listening? Number one, write down the word be, biblical. I want to say we do what we do tonight not only because it's biblical, we do what we do tonight because it builds. You say it does what? Number two, it builds this evening. Bible says in our text here tonight, for we're laborers together with God. You're God's husband, you're God's building. According to the grace which God has given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. By the way, it takes everything. You know what Pastor Branch was doing yesterday and our pastor was doing yesterday? They're out here doing the foundational work. By the way, the main part of a building is the part that you never see. And I want to say this to you, that foundation has to be laid. And I want to say this to you now, the building is built thereon. And I'll say missions not, faith promise that missions not, it's biblical. But then I want to say we do what we do tonight because it builds tonight. You'll say, what does it build? Number one, it builds faith. Faith, promise. Faith, promise. Brother Allen, you remember Dr. Bill Hayes? You remember Brother Hayes, Dr. Hayes from Macedonia? He's dead, been gone for a long time. Dr. Hayes, and you say this, put the faith back in faith promise. See, faith promise tonight is not you taking a... It's not you taking a calculator. You don't figure that out. You know, I'll give the missions if I got any left over at the end of the week. I'll give the missions after I get everything else paid off. That's not faith promise. Faith promise now, it builds your faith. You trust God. I forsake all, I trust him. Y'all get it? And I'll say this to you now. That's what it is tonight. Why do we do what we do? We do because it builds. It builds faith tonight four times in the Bible, and right there it is, all four places, how the just shall live by faith. And again, listen to that. We're called laborers together because it builds faith. I don't say it don't only build faith. I don't say it builds fellowship. Fellowship, and I love that tonight. We're called laborers together with this missionary tonight and this other missionary back here tonight. We're called laborers together with them. It don't only build faith, it builds fellowship. Listen, the church I grew up in when I was just a little boy, they talked about missionaries, but I never did see a missionary. And the convention churches, you hear about missions, but you never see missionaries. They just talk about them. But we as independent Baptists tonight, we have them come through just like our pastor did tonight. He's a real person. Did you know that? That man right there is a real person. He's getting old. Look at his hair. Are you hearing me? And look at that other old fellow back there with that gray hair. But they're real people tonight. And you know what we do tonight? We have fellowship together with them. And when I pastored, we'd have our mission conference. And I'd always have my missionaries to go home with my people. I had to eat and fellowship with them. I'll say, preach, why do we do what we do? We do what we do tonight because it builds. It builds faith. It builds fellowship tonight. And you get to see them. You get to fellowship with them. And you get to be a part of the ministry. You say, what does the bill preach? It builds finances. Yeah. Are you listening to me? It builds finances. Paul told the church of Philippi there, he says, you know what? It's written that I want your money, but I want fruit. And he said, you sent to me once and again on his second missionary trip. Philippians chapter 4, I'll preach on sometime this week probably. They sent to him. And they're part of those churches in Macedonia. And he said, you didn't only help me one time, you helped me twice. And I want to say it builds finances. I want to say it builds fellowship. It builds faith tonight. Hey, can I say this tonight? It builds fruit. 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 And you say this all the time. I'd have preachers call me on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. When I pastored almost 40 years, I'd have preachers would call me on Sunday night and say, how did your day go? And I'd always say, I don't know, it's not over. The report's not been put in yet. We've not seen the full report. We had a good day here, but the report all's not come in yet. Because we had missionaries on the West Coast. They're 3 hours behind us. More ways than one. But listen, they're 3 hours behind us. And so we didn't know what the full report was. And listen to me, every time somebody gets saved as a result of a missionary of this church, a support, guess what? That fruit abounded in your account. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? Well, you say, preacher, you know, I don't even think anything about that. Well, you wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ. It builds fruit. It builds fellowship. I tell you something else it builds. Now, it don't only build that. It builds a fire in your church. People get excited about it. I used to have a little lady at Turner's Creek, and she's messed up the service more than one time. And by the way, God used that little lady in that church. When I left that church, I was given $235,000 a year to missions. And when I left, supporting 230 missionaries a month. And we had a little lady in that church. I seen her not long ago. She's like myself. She's got some years on her now. And I saw her not long ago at the grocery store. And she said, preacher, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. And listen to me. She's messed up a lot of services. Here's what she'd do. I'm talking about it sets a fire in your church. I'd be getting ready to preach, Brother Robert. And she'd jump right up in the middle of the service. 300 or 400 people there jumped right up in the middle of the service and said, preacher, I know it's time to preach, but preacher, can I tell y'all what God done this week? How God met her faith promise? By the way, she didn't even work a public job. She cleaned my eye doctor. She cleaned his office once or twice a week and had 1 or 2 hours. That was it. But God used her by faith to give more to me. Hey, I'm telling you, it builds a fire in your church. You get your people living by faith and trust God. Hello. I'll tell you something else it does. It builds a future for your church. I've been studying about this in recent days. Really, this year, I've really been studying a lot about it. I know it is a lot of churches that has been. They're not there no more. They focus on them and therefore and no more, and now they're gone. But you take an old-time Bible preaching church like our church tonight. Don't only believe it's us, but it's the world tonight. They go on and they go on and they go on and they go on. I walked in front of the church out here this afternoon, and I saw where this church was started in 1985. And was it 1885, Brother Drury. Kid was a charter member. 1885. All right, listen. 1985. And I know where this church has started since 1985. That's already gone out of business. I'll tell you, friend, you make world missions your business. You make your business reaching the world with the gospel. God will make it his business to take care of you. Amen. Are you hearing me? It builds the future. It builds the fire. It builds fellowship. It builds faith. Listen now. I'll tell you something else it builds. It builds a final reward at the end of the way. I'll tell you something else it builds. It builds a fervent prayer life. Someone say, why do we do missions tonight? Why do missions tonight? Well, I'll say, first of all, it's biblical. Then I'll say, number two, tonight, we do it tonight. That's simply because it does what? It builds, amen. We do, number one, why do we do missions? We're going to be here a long time. He done told me what time I got to be done. Y'all taking time off my message. Number one, why do we do missions? It's biblical. Somebody help my wife. Help her, preacher. Why do we do missions? It's biblical. Number two, why do we do missions? Number three, why do we do missions? Benefit. Would you write down the word benefit? And I'll tell you why we do missions. It benefits. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another. Are you listening? It benefits tonight. You say, who does it benefit? Number one, it benefits. Do I have those sub-points? I don't know if we got them up there. Number one, it benefits the sent one. You know who the sent one is? Right back there, they sent two of them. And also our church, the sent ones. It benefits them, the missionary. It benefits the sent ones. Number two, it benefits the sinners. And you need to get that lady raised back there. Number two, it benefits the sinner. Number three, it benefits the saints. That's the church. Number four, it benefits the Savior. Amen. It benefits tonight. And I want to say this to you now. It benefits the church. That's why we do it. We do it because it's biblical tonight. We do it tonight because it builds. We do it tonight because of the benefit of it. But then I want to say number four tonight. We do it because, number four B, help me, what is it? Beyond. Do y'all need some glasses? Do y'all need to go see my eye doctor? Look, I'm 93 years old now. I wear glasses. Are you listening? Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Beyond. You say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Look at the other verse that's on the screen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, yea, listen to this verse. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not for Christ's name, lest I build upon another man's foundation. Beyond. Listen to me. You can't even sling a dead cat around here. What, you're going to hit three churches? I shouldn't have said that. I'm on the internet. Are you listening to me? But it's the truth. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. But I'll tell you, there's some places it's not like that tonight. There's some places in the United States like that tonight. There's some places in Brazil that's never been touched with the gospel. And you know why we do it tonight? We do what we do tonight simply because of beyond. Paul said, I strive to preach where Christ has not been named. I want to go where he's not been named. I want to go where he's not preached. It's like this. It's like going fishing in a fishing hole that's never been fished in. Hello. It's like going deer hunting the first day before they start shooting and scaring everything. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Are you listening? You know the best time to deer hunt's first week, a muzzleloader season, before they all get spooked and everything. And listen, we do it tonight because beyond tonight, there are those in the beyond. Listen, the majority of this world has never had a clear presentation of the gospel. 195 countries around the world, I'm going to say more about that this week, and a lot of them has never had not one clear presentation of the gospel. We talk about the second coming when many of them hadn't heard about the first coming. And I'll say to you tonight, listen to me real good. We do what we do tonight because of the beyond. They're out there. They're lost. They don't know God. They need somebody to go. You know, he's talking about grandchildren. And, boy, my life's changed so much. When our kids come along, when Rebecca come, it was a real change in our life. And when Jonathan, my pastor, I don't call him Jonathan here. He's my pastor. But when he come along, it ain't been the same since. But listen to this. It's really a change. But when Jeremiah and Lydia and Madeline and Victoria and Olivia come along, oh boy, oh boy, hallelujah. But can I tell y'all something real good? It gets gooder. Well, that's good English, isn't it? You wait till them great-grand young'uns get here. Lord, have mercy. Brianna sent a little thing on my phone today, and Jenna Ray's making her first two or three steps, and old Zeke back there's hollering at her. It's so funny. I said that to say this. There's some grand young'uns around the world that will die and go to hell if somebody don't give to missions. And I won't tell you, they deserve, why do we deserve hear it two times when they've not heard it the first time? Hear me tonight, beyond. That's why we do what we do is because of beyond tonight. Those that Paul said, I strive, I work at it. I know when I was the North American director for Macedonia, I was shocked when I got out west. And I probably spent more time out west than I did anywhere else, and also up in Canada. There is town after town after town after town that don't have a gospel preaching church right here in the United States. And out of a county in North Carolina, they don't even have a fundamental church. Hey, hear me tonight. You know why we do what we do? You know why my wife and I give to missions? Let me say that the right way. You know why God, through my wife and I, give to missions every week? How, you'll say, you're not here every week. Check the record. I promise I'll tithe. Do I tithe, Miss Stephanie? I like that. Are you listening? And faith, are you listening? You know why we do that? We do that because of the yard. Those that's not heard it, not even one time. How, those that don't understand, they've not heard it. Are you listening? We do what we do because of beyond. Then I want to say we do what we do. Number three, number four, number five. Because, is it up there yet? What does it say? Blood. We do what we do because, and the B word I want to use tonight is blood. Listen to this. Listen to this. God told Ezekiel. He said, I've made you, Ezekiel chapter 3, and I'm not going to turn and read it. Ezekiel 3, verse 17 through 19. God told Ezekiel, said, I made you a watchman on the wall. Your job is to keep your eyes open. And if the enemy comes in and you're a lot of gagging around, do y'all understand that kind of language? You messing around, you're sitting there asleep while the enemy comes in and overtakes the camp. You know what God told Ezekiel? He said, because you're a watchman and because you went to sleep on the job and because you didn't watch, this city's blood's going to be required at your hand. It's your fault. That's what he's saying to Ezekiel. It's your fault. You're a watchman, and if you don't watch and you don't do what you're supposed to do, their blood's going to be required at your hand. You know why we do what we do tonight? We do what we do tonight because of blood. And what I'm simply mean by that is this tonight. I don't want their blood on my hand. I want to give everything I'm supposed to give. I want to go everywhere I'm supposed to go. I want to preach every message I'm supposed to preach. I've been praying in recent days, God, you put me where you want me, when you want me, how you want me. Are you hearing me tonight? Whatever that is, wherever it's at, that's what I want tonight. Hey, I want to ask you a question now. Will his blood, Jesus, will his blood cover their sins, or will their blood cover our hands? Did I put that on there? Oh, she's got it on there. Man, what a statement. Will his blood cover their sins, or will their blood cover our hands? You say, I've heard that all my life, and I don't believe it. Well, guess what? That doesn't change a thing. Are you hearing me tonight? If we've got opportunity and we can go, I don't want their blood on my hands. I mean that tonight. The older I get, listen to me, I'll say this 10 times this week, there's only one life. That life will soon be passed. And all that's done for Christ is all it's going to last. I believe that so much, I've got a sticker on my pickup that says that to remind me. I've run this thing one, I'm just coming through here one time. I'm not coming back no more. I'm coming through one time. I'm going to do what I'm doing. I'm going to do it one time, Brother Jerry, one time. And I'll tell you, I don't have much time left. And what time I do have left, I don't want nobody's blood on my hand. I think I'm more soul conscious tonight of people going to hell than I've ever been in my life. I pull up to the gas station, and I get some gas. And right on the other side, there stands somebody. Have no idea who they are. But you know what I do? I go right over here. Y'all see what kind of shirt I got on? Put gospel tracks in. I want y'all to know that. Are you listening? I go right over here, pull a gospel track out while my gas is pumping. Hey, ma'am, would you mind if I share a gospel track with you? Hey, sir. And you know what? I'm not had a one to turn me down. Not one. Not one. I even had some Yankees. They gas up where I gas at over on 77. And they won't even turn me down. They're not friendly. They don't smile, but they don't turn me down. Are you listening to me? You say, well, preacher, I don't know that I'd go that far. Listen to me. Things don't just happen. God puts you where he wants you, when he wants you there, for a reason. And I want to say this to you now. What a joy. I don't want their blood on my hands. And I'll say this to a church tonight. There's church after church after church after church all over this country sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars at the Antichrist that's going to have a big old time with some of these days. I'm preaching good. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not against laying a little bit up for a rainy day. I don't have near as much laid up as my brother back there, but I have a little bit. And I want to say this to you tonight. It's nothing wrong with a church having a few extra dollars. Who knows when a heating unit's going to go out? Who knows when the preacher's going to need some new tires? Who knows? I'm not against that. But it's set on $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million. I know a church has got millions of dollars. And they wouldn't give the time of the day to a missionary. What do you think is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Are you listening to me tonight? Are you listening? I wish I knew when Jesus was coming. I know he's coming soon. I just wish I knew the date. I wish I knew when he's coming. Are you listening? If I've got a young un's lost, any grand young un's lost, they won't get a dime from me if I knew when Jesus is coming. Because I'd invest it right now in the work of God. Are you listening to me? Oh my, hear me and hear me well. I'm just telling you now, I don't want their blood. Why do we do what we do, church? Why does our pastor, heard the other week, just the other week, what's the missionary in Africa who built the church? He read the letter. Said they need $12,000 to build a church. West Africa, is that right? Need $12,000 to build a church. I was here the day y'all done that or not, whatever, I don't know what it was, but I was here when it happened. Boy, that thrilled my heart. And I've been going all over the country in mission. You know what my home church just done? They just built a church in Africa. And you know what? They're building a $1 million building, but they just got done building a church in Africa. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Hey, I'm about to get happy. You wait till we get to the judgment seat of Christ. Are you listening? I don't want their blood. What do you reckon the Lord's going to say to that outfit out here that's got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting on it, fighting and cussing one another over it? I could solve their problem if they let me there just a little bit. Are you listening? Listen, write down blood. Then I want to say last one, I'm done. By the way, I want to say this before I move. She done moved, so I'm going to move too. Here we go. Good job, Miss Debbie. Listen to this. I want to say the last B word I want to give you. Is it up there yet? Isn't that true? Think about what's on that screen. Think about it tonight. The sixth B word is burning. You know what Jude said, verse 22 and 23? Plucking them out of the fire. I mean, plucking them out of the fire. One of the sayings, or the missionary sayings that's on the board this week, you'll see it. C.T. Studd said, some desire to live within the ring of the church bell. But he said, I want to start a rescue mission within a foot of hell. Did y'all get what I just said? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Hell's a real, real place. And I'm going to tell you why our pastor did that the other week and why he just done what he done tonight and why you do what you do. We believe there's a literal burning hell. Less than 12 miles from where I stand, there's a boiling, blistering, burning hell in the heart of this earth. That's what this book says. And I will tell you, a man that dies without God, he'll die and go to hell there. I'll say this. I wish you'd pray for a man I witnessed to today. His name's Michael. Rough. Tattoos all over him. He had a big old tattoo right here. Right there. A great big one. And my brother, he was over here talking to somebody else. He seen what I was doing. I was trying to lead the old boy to Christ. And I'd already given him the gospel. And I said, man, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ. And I give him the gospel. And I said, how about it? Won't you do it today? Day's the day of salvation. He said, I will. But I didn't see no sincerity in that. Then I said, I want to say this. I'm going to show you verse 13 here in just a minute. Whosoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I said, I want to say this before I do. If you're doing what you're doing, and you're going to make a profession of faith because you're in jail and because I'm pressing you to do that, forget it. You're wasting my time, and I'm wasting your time. But I said, if you realize you're a sinner, and you're going to go to hell without God, you know that, be a good day to get saved. He said, well, I guess I better wait. Are you listening? I'm not interested in professions of faith. I'm interested in possession. Are you listening to me? With your heart. That a heart, listen to me, your heart's not that pump. Your heart's you. I see you, but I don't see you. I see you, but I don't see you. I ain't sure about you, but listen to this. The real you lives on the inside. The real you's on the inside. Your thought, your attitude, your action. That's what the Bible talks about, your heart. It's not your pump. It's your heart. And I'll say tonight, we do what we do tonight simply because of burning. 99 people every 60 seconds drop off into hell, they tell me. And by the way, that's an old figure. Think about that. In a two-hour church service, almost 12,000 people will drop off into a literal burning hell. Man, how can I allow God to give through me? Why do we do what we do? I hope you wrote down those B words, Father.